morning's radio play is based on another true story appearing in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine distributed with all first Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. Romantic Rovers is a production of the General Broadcasting Company. October 26, 1788. His Majesty's ship Bounty, which had been sent to the Pacific Islands for breadfruit, dropped anchor at Tahiti. To the men who sailed the Bounty under the tyrannical command of Captain William Bligh, Tahiti, with its fantastically shaped mountains, waterfalls like threads of silver flung from the cliffs, shady groves, slender coconut trees, and the comely and amiable native women, seemed a veritable paradise. For 6 months, the ship's crew stayed there, and then came the order to sail for England. The men made the most of their last day on a beautiful island. One of the sailors, George Young, who had fallen deeply in love with a Tahitian maid, spent his last hours ashore by taking a walk to the shady glades with his native sweetheart.
Are you tired, Thunder?
No, no tired.
That's good. I wanted to see our waterfall just once more before I sail for home.
When you go?
Tomorrow, at sunrise.
And they'll know where to go.
Oh, when I don't want to go either, Thunder.
No go. Stay.
I wish I could with all my heart. But I can't. You know, Thunder, I must leave in the morning.
Why?
I must obey orders.
Who say orders?
Captain Bligh, the man with all the gold plated. You know, the tall man with the beard here and here on each side.
And they are no like that man. And they all hate you.
Well, you aren't the only one. There's hardly a man of us who doesn't. But he's in command of the ship. And when he says we must sail, we must sail.
Can they all go see Captain Man? Can they all make him let you stay with her?
It wouldn't do any good.
Then can they all get men of her people to kill him?
By Jove. You certainly have made up your mind to keep me here. No, that wouldn't work either.
Why not?
Well, don't you see? There are a few of the captain's men who are faithful to him. They'd kill the people of the men from your people. I tell you, there's nothing to be done. I must leave you in the morning.
Can they all go with Englishmen?
Oh, no, Tondale. You mustn't do that.
Englishmen know what, Tondale.
Oh, if you only knew how much I want you. I love you, Tondale. I love you more than anything in the world. Look. Look, there's our waterfall.
Our waterfall.
How beautiful it is. How beautiful you are, Tondale.
Englishmen like Tondale?
Englishmen love you. We love you so much that... Here, wait a minute.
What you do with that?
Watch. There.
A ring?
Yes, I've made it into a ring. You know what for?
No.
For Tondale to wear on her finger. No, 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 wait, you can't put it on yet. This is to be a wedding ring.
Wedding ring?
In my country, Tondale, when a man and a woman become man and wife, they exchange vows and a ring. They promise to love each other and be faithful to each other no matter what happens to them. Do you understand?
Tondale understand.
Well, I brought you up here by our waterfall to marry you. Will you be my wife?
Will be what? Can have been now?
Oh, no, no, wait. Tondale, here by the waterfall, in the sight of God and ourselves, I take thee to be my wedded wife. With this ring, I be wed, and with all my worldly goods, I be endowed. Amen.
Can they all wait now?
Yes.
You're no leaving they all now.
Well, I'll have to leave you for a while.
You come back?
Yes, I'll come back somehow.
Oh, soon.
Soon.
The Bounty sailed the next morning with a thoroughly discontented crew, and the severe disciplinarian, Captain Bligh, invented a few new torments for the men while continuing all of his old ones. One night, a few days out of Tahiti, George Young and Fletcher Christian sat in their quarters and discussed their flight.
I can't stand any more of the captain's needless devilment, Fletcher.
Nor I. I haven't forgotten his calling me a thief in front of the whole crew.
I remember the freezing cold night he sent me to the top of the mizzenmast.
Yes, and Alex Smith's back still smarts whenever he meets the captain. He hasn't forgotten that flogging, I can tell you. I wish I'd deserted it, presently.
I started to.
You
first
did?
Day out of port, George.
Really?
Yes. I stole some planks from the ship's carpenter and started to make a raft. But I soon had to give up that idea.
Why?
Yes, why did you?
Oh, Hawthorne happened to see me at it. I knew he'd report me.
I wish you'd finished making it. I'd have gone overboard with you.
Would you, George?
Yes. I left my native drive back there, you know.
I'd have gone too.
I wish I'd have known that.
Say, I have an idea.
What is it?
Well, let's hear it.
Wait, we must be sure there's nobody outside that door.
The coast clear? Hawthorne's not swimming through the cracks.
No. Hardy.
Yes?
Stand here and keep your ears open for anyone approaching.
Aye.
What's the big idea, George? And why so much secrecy?
Well, it's a bold plan, Fletcher. And if we fail, it means death.
Death would be more peaceful in this life we're living.
What's the plan? Hurry up and tell us.
It's just this. We'll seize the ship and turn back to Tahiti.
Seize the ship? How can we?
All we have to do is... Well, so I told him. I said, mate, that's nothing compared to the squall we had the last time we crossed the equator.
Well, this is shooting on that boat, Jeff.
Eternal correct. Yes, the plan. That's how you ought to take the logical view. Your hands can never mind that. I haven't the physical.
Any man on Earth, gladly. If there's a... How can we get spine?
Mate, get the key from the gunner.
Look at the musket. We'll go and get the key. Call on the captain.
What for?
He's in the musket
chest. Well, tell me why.
He, quick.
You'll have to trick about the captain. You know he's...
Well,
we have it without a good cause.
Shot, quick.
Why?
Well, what bow? Just came up 20 feet off the water. We'd like to shoot it out of the order.
In that case...
Oh, thanks.
Here's the key.
Chair. Here's yours.
Now, don't forget the...
We can trust you.
Come on, that's right.
You get them in. And Joe, take over the helm.
Right, sir. That's right.
Wait a minute. Sit over there. What are you doing with that musket in your hand? Wait, I'm alone. What is this?
This is a committee of resignation. This is a committee of resignation, Captain Bly. We're here to relieve you of your command.
Relieve me? You men realize what this is?
It's a necessary measure, Captain.
It's mutiny. Mutiny on the high seas, and the punishment is death.
If caught. You forgot to add that, Captain. And we don't intend to get caught. Come with us.
I'll have you men dangling from the yard arm in half an hour. Wait and see. You can't get away with this. I do not. I'll show you.
Still shooting off your mouth, aren't you, Captain?
Why, you'll be the first to dance on air, Mr. Young.
Shut up, Lye. I've heard enough of your threats. Now you listen to me for a change. I thought when I signed on that I was the most fortunate man in the world. I was to sail under the great Captain William Bly. And what did I find out? That I had signed on under one of the most intolerable tyrants that God ever put breath into. That's all over now. No longer will you make me suffer the torments of hell. This time, the shoe is on the other foot.
What do you mean?
I'm going to give you a taste of your own medicine.
Your own medicine? I don't understand.
You will before long, Captain. And so will all your boot-licking spines.
Yes. They are going with you.
Going with me? Where?
You are going to be set adrift in an open boat.
No, no.
You heard what I said. Being prepared now with some water and provisions.
Captain, don't do it. For God's sake, don't do it.
Where have I heard those words before? You've heard them too, haven't you, George?
I certainly have, Fletcher. That's what Hardy cried the bitter night he was sent to the top of the mizzenmast.
And Alex Smith, just before the Cat O' Nine Tails cut his back to ribbon.
That's right, Fletcher.
And so no mercy.
Mercy? Listen to who's asking for mercy. Have you ever shown any...
Go ahead and beg, Captain. You ought to be able to plead well. You've heard enough men plead with you.
Mr. Christian, Mr. Young, put me in irons.
Too good for you.
Lock me in the brig.
We don't want you around, Captain.
Oh, please, please don't set me adrift.
I said you were going to be set adrift. And that's just what's going to happen to you.
No, no, don't, man. Keep me prisoner if you wish, but take me back to England with you.
England? Who said anything about England, you stone-hearted sea devil? We're not heading for England. We're turning back for Tahiti.
Fletcher Christian carried out his promise. Captain Bly and 19 of his loyal followers were set adrift in the middle of the South Pacific, and the mutineers returned to the beautiful island of Tahiti. There, George Young was greeted joyfully by his native bride.
Thurston.
Tondale.
You're back, like you say.
Yes, Tondale, I'm back.
That Captain Mann bring you back?
No.
But you back on same boat?
Yes, we took the boat away from the captain and came back ourselves.
How long you stay now, Hudson?
Oh, I'm going to stay a long time, Tondale. We'll build a house by our waterfall and...
Oh, look.
What's the matter?
Boat go away again.
Oh, yes, I know. Fletcher Christian and seven of the men are sailing away to some other island to live.
Why?
Well, they must go somewhere where no one will ever find them.
Why?
Oh, you wouldn't understand, Tondale. But don't think about them. Think of me and of us and be happy.
Tondale, happy you back?
Oh, I'm happy too.
How long are you going to stay with Tondale?
For always, Tondale. I'm never going to leave you again.
Be sure to read the details of this historic mutiny and the following adventures of these romantic rovers of the sea under the title Pitcairn Islanders Find Relic of the Bounty. This story appears in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine distributed with all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. This is Wentworth announcing, and now your own announcer will take the microphone. Radio play, grand finale, is based on a most interesting story appearing in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine distributed with all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. Front page dramas are produced in the studios of the General Broadcasting Company. Circus is here. Outside the town, striped tents with pennants and flags flying, the multicolored posters, the red and gold wagons, the midway and sideshows going full blast, herald the annual visit of a mammoth traveling show. In the main tent, the three-ring kaleidoscope of bewildering and simultaneous entertainment is drawing to a close the afternoon performance. In the dressing room tent of the star performers, Signor Amati Bellini, the wizard marksman, and Anita Lamour, his living target, are preparing for their matinee appearance.
Nita!
Yes, Amati.
The rifles, you have loaded them?
Of course, Amati. Doesn't my life depend on them being loaded right?
It pleases you to forget to fire them at you.
I'm only joking, Amati. May I come in?
Yes, if you wish.
What's the matter, Amati?
Nothing. What do you ask?
Don't you love me anymore?
Nita, we go on in a few moments. Why must you start for that now?
You don't love me. You're tired of me.
I'm going to make a slight change in our routine today, Nita. Instead of outlining your right side first, I'm going to do the left one.
Why can't it be like you used to be, Amati, when we first fell in love?
Did you hear what I said, Anita?
Yes, I heard. What's the matter, dearest?
Will you keep your mind on the act? I tell you of a change which might cause you a painful injury if you are not expecting it, and you pay no more attention to me than if I ask you what time it is.
Don't worry, Amati. I'll be expecting the bullets on my left side first.
I'll see that you do. The bullets are made of wax, of course. But a wax of bullets fired from a 20 paces could have put the one of your pretty eyes out, you know.
I'm not afraid. The aim of Bellini is always steady. It's only his love that wavers.
Why must you keep talking about a love? Is there nothing else to talk about?
Once you could talk of nothing else. Have you forgotten? Or is that subject reserved for someone else?
Mind your business.
I was right. You're in love with that lion tamer's partner.
Listen to me, Nita. You keep Estella's name out of our conversation. You understand?
I understand that you no longer love me.
Lady? Nita?
Here comes a Sam. Stop looking like a whip of a dog and a smile.
Are you ready? You're on the minute, you know. Come along now and say, Nita. Give the customers a great big smile today, will you? You know, you'd think you was really going to get shot the way you've been looking lately.
Yeah, I was just telling her the same opinion when you came in, Sam. Get the rifles, Anita.
Right away, Anita.
Well...